It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 276 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week features the return of Gilbert Deltres, the creator of Under the Flesh, who has a new project in the works called Lair. And as this recording is posted, you should be able to go to Kickstarter.com and find out Lair. That's spelled L-A-I-R. We'll give more details during the discussion. Will we talk about how the book came to be, how we brought the creative team together, as well as an update on Under the Flesh and what other things might be happening in the Deltres universe. As an indie creator, he has a lot of interesting insights, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Gilbert Deltres, probably best known for Under the Flesh, a great indie comic that he made, but he's got a new book in the works and a Kickstarter that's now underway. How are you doing today, Gil?
So far, so good, Wayne. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Well, it's good to talk with you. Now, let's go ahead and start with the new stuff, and then we'll go back to Under the Flesh and see how that is going. But gotcha. The important thing right now is this new book. Do you want to talk a little bit about what the new book's about?
Sure. It's basically my fascination, I'd say, with demons put in comic book panels, pretty much.
Okay. Because as I look on your Facebook page, I see it's described as a paradimensional demon horror graphic novel.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's correct. It's called Lair. Is it The Lair or Lair?
Lair.
Okay. So we want to make sure we get it right.
Yeah.
There's a page I see on there. It's really good. The art and the coloring is particularly really good. About it. Could you give us like a TV guide version of what's going to go on with it? What's the basics of the story is?
To sum it up in a TV guide log line, I would say an off-duty cop in a rocky relationship faces more than demons when he's literally warped into a hellish dimension. And this is, in fact, Lair.
Okay, and I see this graphic that I see on there. Is that the same? Is the guy we see, the looks like the human guy. He's the off-duty cop. And on the other side of what looks to be like a glowing globe is what looks like a demon. Is that the same guy as a demon, or is that a demon? That's kind of, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much in regards to spoilers, but this is good that you picked up on that. So, yes, that's a main character we're seeing, and that orb does have a specific place in the narrative. And the demon, so to speak, is the head, or you can say fallen angel, the warden, so to speak, of Lair. So there are some parallels there, but that's pretty much a cover that Sebastian, the artist, and I concocted, and we felt it was visually grasping, something that just attracted attention, and if it does its job, that's what we're trying to do.
Now, Sebastian's last name is Navas?
Yeah, Sebastian Navas, I would say. Yeah, Navas, Navas, yeah.
As long as we're getting somewhere in the ballpark, probably happy. Now, according to your Facebook page, the colors are done by Davi Komodo. Is that pronounced right?
Yes. Okay. Davi Komodo. I actually found him, believe it or not, on Facebook, one of the comic groups. I actually saw him put up a post showing some of his coloring work, and literally that's the first time I ever found a colorist on Facebook. But his credentials were pretty good, his resume looked good, and he actually had some work published by Dark Horse and Boom Studios. So I just gave him a tryout, and I was blown away by that page, and I was like, this is our colorist.
So how did you meet Sebastian then?
Sebastian, honestly, in regards to finding an artist, I never have a set way. I'm always scouting on, I want to say Facebook, really, but Boom Studios has an artist submissions page, and artists will literally just fill up that page with samples, portfolio work, and sometimes I'll just gradually just scout for artists. And if I see something that attracts my attention for a particular work that I'm writing, I'll give him a shout, seek him out, and dialogue. And if something happens, if he has availability, I try to see if he's willing to collaborate. And pretty much that's what happened with Sebastian. He had availability. He liked the script. He said he thinks it's one of his best scripts that he received. And from there, we started with just the cover, a finished cover, and the finished first page as a promo piece for the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. This is good. Now, your Kickstarter's underway. Let's get a little of the detail about the Kickstarter. When is this going to be concluded?
Okay, this will be actually going on from, it'll start April 9th. It's going to be till May, actually 14th, I want to say.
Okay. All right. And what's your goal?
Therein lies one of the things that gets me a bit nervy as an indie comic creator. This is my biggest Kickstarter yet, and the goal is going to be 10K.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And and in the interest of full transparency, that's literally just to cover the artwork. Lair is, in fact, a 60-page one-shot graphic novel. Mm. There's no issue 1, issue 2, issue 3, issue 10, issue 11. This is just a one-shot and done. Put all your marbles in the bag and seal it up. So this is a big endeavor for me and my biggest Kickstarter. So this is literally the biggest work I've put out.
So we got to get the word out about this good thing.
Yes. Okay. I'm trying to, as much as I can on social media, you know, whatever I can do just to spread the word.
Now, I always wonder about names of things. Mm-hmm. A lair is like a place like the Batcave is for Batman and stuff like that. Does that have anything to do with the story? Or does it have
Yes, it does. All right. The best way to just surmise what Lair is, I know we're all familiar with The Exorcist. We all have our type of stereotype, I guess, or conception of demonic possession, so to speak. So for me, this fascination, I always felt like, what do demons do all day? Like, what do they do, you know, on their spare time? They're always looking for souls that are ripe enough for possession. They're always looking for people they can, you know, take over, bodies they can harness. They're always looking for vessels. So I figured, I just got fascinated, and I figured making a comic where Lair is the place where demons pretty much lurk before they actually possess a human being. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've been writing for years. It started as a short story in one of my creative writing classes. Mm-hmm. And it just ballooned into hopefully the graphic novel, which can be something tangible, mm-hmm. hopefully by the end of the campaign.
Okay. Now, granted, we're going to go under the assumption it'll be a success. And when do you expect, if the money comes in, that we might actually see this in print?
Okay, I'm hoping to have at least the artwork done, I want to say, by September-ish. Mm-hmm. Hoping to have at least physical copies en route to our backers. I want to aim for Halloween. I'd love to get this type of piece right on time for Halloween. And for the Kickstarter, I'm actually putting as delivery date October. So pending the success, yes, optimistic always. I feel that this is something that's doable and something realistic within our parameters as a creative team. So I feel this is something that can be in backer hands by October, right when the time for creepiness sets in.
That's right. And of course, the Halloween is the perfect time for this to come out.
Yeah.
That's kind of a good thing. Now, I've got to ask you about why a graphic novel? You mentioned the fact that it's not going to be individual issues. Was there a reason for going with the graphic novel format as opposed to like coming out with individual issues?
All right. So for me, I was lucky enough to have successfully crowdfunded Under the Flesh. It was a webcomic I did, a type of play on zombies, so to speak. I was able to spearhead the first issue via Kickstarter, get the artwork for the second issue, and did another campaign, and we wrapped up to the third issue. Mm-hmm. Now, as much as I'd like to jump on and do a Kickstarter for Under the Flesh number 4, JL, the artist for Under the Flesh, the schedule was a bit cloudy. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you're dealing with scheduling and you're dealing with a narrative that you have broken out into a 6-issue, 4-issue, 5-issue story arc, a separate individualized Kickstarter campaign makes things a little bit tough or a little bit rough. So I figured if I just do a Kickstarter campaign for a one-shot deal, 60-page graphic novel, when backers get this all creative work, they're able to gauge me as a writer. They're able to gauge my style more effectively and more efficiently than if I just put out issues on an individualized basis. And for me, I feel it's a little less risk when you're doing the floppies from issue to issue. You could have some snags along the way. So I just feel like a one and done deal, I figured for me, it would show more in terms of my storytelling craft, because when it's done, you have your fully engaged story beginning, middle, and end, as opposed to waiting for issue 4, issue 5, how the plot gonna flesh out, how's the conclusion coming along. You know, so I felt for me, even though it's a pricier Kickstarter, I feel that the work that I'm putting out as far as visual, as far as the artwork, you could see the type of merit that's going into this product. And I hope backers can see that. And that's why I opted to go with the full-blown graphic novel as opposed to stringing along in separate issues.
Of course, you realize you're bucking the trend of almost every comic that comes out today has no end to it.
Batman. Yes, that's yes. That's another thing. I wanted closure as a comic reader, okay, because I love reading comics. I still follow The Walking Dead. I'm reading The Woods. There's a saga. So, you know, I mean, I love the ongoing, but there comes a point where you want some type of finality. You want some type of closure. And for me as a reader, it gets hard to keep track of every single issue that comes out. I got a stack of The Walking Dead hardcovers because for me, it was just easy to have them consolidated. Mm-hmm. And I literally sold off my whole The Walking Dead collection. I mean, I would do it again differently now because it hurts to sell that first issue. But anyway, it's just to piggyback off what you said, I felt as a reader and also as a writer, I wanted to put a work out there that does have finality to it, but at the same time can be reopened. You kind of close the book, but you leave it at a spot where if we have to revisit it, hey, we got a great jumping off point, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at and why I aimed for a graphic novel as opposed to just another ongoing trek.
So it could be a Lair 2 someday.
The blessing would be Lair 1 gets interest, it gets some type of publishing, and I would love for someone to say, hey, we want to see Lair 2 and keep it. Here's the thing. As much as I say I wouldn't want to do that, but when you see good things coming, you probably would want to milk something for all it's worth. But there's one part of me that doesn't want to – yeah, I don't want to be that – not to say that they're selling out. Not at all, but – I just want to do things differently. I want to have a certain respect to the work, and just you don't want to bleed anything too dry, and you know you're just running on bones. I want to have something more there, some more substance. So I put it like this: if you fully engage Lair, hopefully when it's done, you have enough fodder there to have a Lair 1, a Lair 2, a Lair 3, a Lair 4. I open a universe, so to speak, where you can keep it going along. And my ideal scenario would be to sell off maybe like the movie rights, if that ever happened, mm-hmm. to Lair, to have them do that. But then me just focusing on just other works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta tell you something. Demons make me really nervous. You know, and I don't get them. I don't understand. I get a little nervous when I do begin to understand them. So, you know, the fact that you're fascinated by them, interested, and obviously done studying on it, why don't you talk a little bit about demons and about what it is about them that makes them something you want to write about?
For me, you always have different types of evil, so to speak. We have our ghosts. You have your abominations, like a Frankenstein monster that was, you know, engineered in a laboratory. You have different types of evil. You have the primeval. You have your wolfmans. You have your King Kong monsters. There's so many types of evil. Then you have the human being, you know, just when you think about how evil we can be as humans. So something about a demon just fascinated me, that a demon for me wants to deal so much with possessing a body. Like, what is it? Where there's an attachment, there's a leeching off of the human spirit for me. And that's something that for me, just it's twisted, it's demented. At the same time, for me, it's intriguing that something like an evil, a supernatural evil, gets a rise out of using our bodies as a costume, so to speak. And for me, if you dig deeper into that, you get into theological perspectives. You open down a lot of backstory, origin. So there's so much there for me as far as fascination, as far as a writer, that for me it opens up I guess you could say, like, a kind of a spiritual truth, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I was more fascinated and stymied by that because I feel like if you have this type of evil and it exists, mm-hmm. right? So for me, then the bigger picture is there has to be something that turns away and spurns this evil, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you watch, like, The Exorcist, you have the priest, and he's supposed to be a man of religion or of a spiritual nature, mm-hmm. and yet he's frightened or fearful of engaging this demon. And that's because if you look in his heart, he's not where he has to be. He has his doubts in what he's witnessed. So that already opens up the void to make him ineffective in his duty as an exorcist, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the parallel when we think about humans and we think about the heart, when we think about how we are as a species, right? So we look at what we bring, what we don't bring. And if you think about it, as far as demons, how they like to possess on this vulnerability and expose that just to bring us to our downfall, it brings me to want to dig deeper and know more about the spirituals behind that. Just that's just something that always fascinated me. And if you got ghosts, you got your werewolves, you got your zombies, but then for me, you got your demons, and there's something there where you have a more, it's like it's more edgy when you talk about demons, because there's that some part, like Wayne, how you said it made you nervous. Mm-hmm. It's like, for me, I feel like it makes me nervous. Like, hey, you know what? I don't believe in ghosts, but you know what? I believe it. Like, maybe demons are real. Like, maybe ghosts are not. Yeah, I know ghosts are not. But you know what? You watch The Conjuring, when you watch Insidious, and it's all about evil spirit. It's not like, you know, this ain't a ghost. We're dealing with an evil spirit, some type of, for me, that's what just opened my door to just want to just dive into this with Lair.
So demons, in your mind, don't have bodies already. They're just, and I don't mean spiritual and a good spiritual, but they're supernatural beings.
Exactly. So for me, there's a, like, that orb, so to speak, on the cover of Lair, it would be like that gateway, would be like that conduit between the real world and the spiritual world. And for me, demons, a demon, if he's in a dark place, if he's, let's just say, ambling along on the fiery rocks of hell, and he's just walking about, going about his day. I mean, how much fun can he have, right? So the fact that they're obsessed with wanting to be part of a human body or to be one with a human body, for me, shows that they still want to experience some type of pleasure mm-hmm. in that body that satisfies them in some way. And it's almost like they're reveling in like that sin, mm-hmm. right, that we often fall victim to if we're trying to have a certain moral compass, so to speak. So that's where I'm like just fascinated by it. And so I feel like when you possess the body, the demon now has a physical corporeal frame where it can experience earthly pleasures beyond the pleasure it's getting mm-hmm. from tormenting and leeching off. You know, it's like a parasitic growth mm-hmm. on a human spirit.
Because immediately questions come to mind. I'm sure you don't want to spoil anything, but I always think about whenever demons are involved, what about Lucifer? And I think about, well, if you've got demons, what about angels, the opposite number to them and stuff like that? So I'm sure you don't want to spoil any of that stuff if they're going to be in there or if they're not, because then you don't want to give away stuff on your story.
No, but I'm hitting all these aspects, and definitely if you got demons, you got to have Lucifer, you got to have – so. I kind of play off that, but at the same time, I borrow from that, and I'm just having fun tossing around these elements and trying to create something where I feel something that's fresh in regards to horror, in regards to demon horror. We've all seen possession movies, but for me, I feel like there's something we can extract, something really deep. We can extract something troubling. We can extract something actually thought-provoking by exploring more into the demonic. And it's creepy, you know, but at the same time, for me, there's a bigger fear than demons out there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm alluding to eventually in the work. And that will make itself known, that kind of message.
Because, you know, Lucifer is pretty popular these days as far as TV goes. He's got his own mm-hmm. TV show. He mm-hmm. is on Supernatural with the Winchester brothers. And, you know, he pops up here and there and everywhere. So dear old Lucifer is quite mm-hmm. the TV star these days.
Well, for spoiler alert, I will say you will not see Lucifer in Lair, so you can just know that you won't see him. He is mentioned, so to speak, but it's just almost vaguely. Like, the star of the show in Lair, aside from our protagonist, mm-hmm. is the Warden of Lair. He's like the fallen angel, and he's the main demon, or I would say fallen angel. Kagrin is what I named him, and he's the badass there. So, I mean, Lucifer doesn't show. So if people are like, oh, another spinoff or something with Lucifer, or no, not at all.
Because there was another indie comic with Lucifer in it, and I don't remember the name of it. But Lucifer is getting his due these days.
There's a plethora, exactly. So because he's getting his due, so I feel like it's popular. I feel like the culture is calling for it as far as pop culture. Like there's a charm, you know, a demonic charm, I guess, or a darkness charm or some type of charm or allure of Lucifer. Like we want to know about this guy who was banished right from heaven, right, who just got sent down to lead his own kingdom in hell, but yet somehow he's going to come in the form of an antichrist, yet somehow he still walks among us making deals with people. So there's a lot of cachet with the Lucifer character. So I feel that exploiting just the backstory in terms of what makes him Lucifer, but taking all that energy and exploiting it in a new venture as far as Lair or a new venue, I feel that's something where people can get behind. And especially when you're dealing with demons, you know, there's going to be numerous type of demons. You're going to have your social class of demons. You're going to have all types of demons. It's like Pokemon. You got to catch them all. You're going to have so many demons, you're going to not be able to catch them all. It's just like that's what I'm trying to do, to show that this type of culture, this type of demonic culture, like there's an existence in Lair, their own hierarchy. So definitely got a lot with this, but not want to steal too much from Lucifer, right? Lucifer has his own show. We're trying to detract from that, but still keep it fresh.
See, I always, because sometimes demons can be seen by humans and sometimes they can't. And I always wonder, is that because they want to be seen?
That could go so many ways, too. I guess, like, that could, by who, like, I guess it's up to the writer how they want to craft that narrative. Because for me, I mean, again, I don't even want to jump into spoilers, but that does become an issue. And I see what you're saying, but. What I want to say too much, I touch along those lines, yeah.
Well, see, this subject brings up all kinds of questions in my mind. And I guess the way that we're going to find out is we got to read the book.
That would be my dream, exactly. Just to have this into something awesomely tangible by way of Kickstarter would definitely be something to just boost my morale.
Now, as far as always in the Kickstarter, you're going to have these little extra goals and wonderful other things that you can get. Do you have in mind other kind of goodies that you'd be offering as far as your Kickstarter?
Well, aside from just the actual hardcover, physical copy, graphic novel Lair, we will also, since we have a diverse creative team, I got Sebastian, he's from Uruguay. I got Davi, who's Brazilian. So I asked if it would be possible, because they also have their fandom, they also have their fans. So I said, would it be possible maybe if we can work on a translation for Lair, to have it in Spanish, to have it in Portuguese, so we could market something to them for the Kickstarter, because they have their own fan bases. So they have their own friends, their audience. And I don't want to alienate anyone from the Lair experience. So I said, hey, I got my artist. He's from Uruguay. He speaks the Spanish language. I have a Brazilian colors. I said, hey, if we can get a translation done, we already got some avenues here, some demographics we're covering, and we have an awesome story for horror. So I feel like that would be good. Aside from the translations, we also have, which I thought was interesting, since once readers read Lair, they're going to get all the nuances. But one thing I do have going is something called a demon portraiture. So it's basically, yeah, it'll be at $100 back reward. I'm limiting it to 25, but basically yearbook style version of a backer likeness as a demon. So, I mean, whoever, Brian, if you ever wanted to be a demon, as much as it, you know, creeps, as much as it creeps you out and, you know, makes your skin crawl, I will have that option available to backers. And aside from that, I'm also having something that's called a casualty of Lair. And that's also, you have your backers that have a demonic likeness, and you'll also have backers who will become, so to speak, a historical figure that was somehow ripped into Lair. So once you read the story, there's a lot going on. You have just the ambiance, just the mood, just the scenery of Lair is so abstract. It's so, like, literally out of this world, right? It definitely fits into the paranormal dimension. But there's rifts that open throughout time that suck things in. So you'll see artifacts from all over time in Lair, literally scattered out, fossils, pyramids, that type of deal. So just to show you that Lair is something that's been around literally since the beginning of time, and people have been in a way sucked into Lair, of course, against their own will, and of course subjected to the horrors of Lair throughout time. So in Casualty of Lair, you know, backer could have their likeness, yearbook style, as someone from one of these time periods, of a Viking, so to speak, a samurai or a cartographer. I'm trying to show how Lair has its own little universe going on. So basically, as far as goodies, that's definitely one of the most intriguing back rewards that I have for Lair.
Because I was wondering, I see some Kickstarters where they actually, if you pay enough, they'll make you a character in the story.
I actually do have that available as a likeness. I actually do have that. So they will be a character. They won't be a fully fleshed out character. It's almost like a cameo. I have a certain scene where they'll have about maybe 4 panels or 5 panels of FaceTime. And it's basically showing how the orb works, so to speak, but you'll see a likeness there. So I do have one of those tucked away in for the Kickstarter. Thanks for reminding me. I haven't even uploaded that on the draft, so thank you.
Yeah, now what about a stock of paper? Because his artwork looks like it requires a nice glossy stock.
Well, here's the thing. This is where spare no expense. I do need to get the artwork done. For me, that's my top priority. That's where the 10K comes in. It's $200 a page. So literally just for Sebastian and just for Davy's colors, we're talking about $10,000. So I want to make sure they're getting paid. And as far as color and stock, again, with Kickstarter, you always have the chance to overfund. If that happens, that's going, of course, to shipping. If that doesn't, and I have to finance out of pocket to get the comic out there, I'm not doing it in a way, as much as I want to budget, I don't want to hurt the integrity and the quality of the comic. And as you've seen how the colors look, last thing I want to do is put on some stock or some paper where it's going to hinder the art. So I want that art to scream. So basically, if I'm looking back towards Print Ninja, because I used Print Ninja before, or I might try Kablam, I'm going to make sure that artwork is not depreciated in any way through the stock.
What about like convention appearances and stuff like that? Because we're now pretty much heading full blow into conventions. Are you going to be going to conventions and promoting this book?
Wayne, that's definitely the end game goal. I definitely want to have something to pitch at conventions. I did have Under the Flesh 1, 2, and 3. I feel with Lair as a completely fleshed out product, I feel that hitting conventions is something that will help as far as brand exposure, and I feel it's something that I need to do. And due to, I guess I want to say, like, personal reasons, just job, school, everything was always tough to hit the convention scene. I'm segueing into a part of my life where if Lair becomes available, I will be able to hit, I will actually have something to sell in the convention scene, because that's definitely a place that needs to be hit. That's one place for me as a creator I've been lacking on, and something out of my own free will. It's just sometimes things happen, life gets you. But hopefully with Lair being successful, I figure if we get a finished product by October, I figured it's probably too hard to kind of plan all that now. I kind of want to like use 2018 as me going full blown head on into the convention circuit with a finished product in Lair that really does a lot to showcase my type of work.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about Spooky Empire, which comes around Halloween time. And that would be an ideal. If you had like a table there or something, you could get the word out on that. That would be a cool thing.
You know what? Thank you. Is that also in October, right?
Yeah.
Is that in Florida, right?
Yeah.
I had a friend told me about Spooky Empire. That's actually something I'm going to research, because if I could, in fact, get the comic done before then, that's actually a viable option, hitting a demographic that really would be so keen to pick a copy of Lair.
Because that's honestly, the conventions now are kind of, they're forming their own sort of fandoms, you know, because Spooky Empire's for horror, you know, MegaCon tends to do the whole thing, but there are, you know, like there's Walking Dead conventions going around now and stuff.
Wow, specifically just for Walking Dead.
Yeah, because I don't remember the names of them, but there's a whole bunch of them that are going around doing those kinds of things. Because, you know, Creation used to always do Star Trek cons. And they did Supernatural cons for a while and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like if you want to gather a group together, and of course, I think these days you kind of have to be aware of those things, especially with your book. Like, I think Spooky Empire it screams out to go there.
No, yeah, for sure. Definitely, because that's the market right there. If you got anything horror, you want to support horror, I mean, there will be people there going to support Spooky Empire, not picking up a comic book in mind. They won't have a comic in mind, but you go there and you have Lair set up with that nice cover page. I mean, that's going to just call. That's going to tickle their heartstrings. So definitely something to be aware of. And thank you for pointing that out, because, yeah, I'm a little behind as far as knowing what's available in my own niche. But definitely Spooky Empire is something to hit up.
Yeah, look on to, because it's in the Orlando area. It's actually near where MegaCon is held. It's like another building over from it. So it's not.
So far. You have MegaCon, you have TampaCon, like all the cons in Florida. Hopefully next is something I'd like to hit up, every single one. Spooky Empire might be on the radar for this year if I can squeeze out a finished product before then.
Well, you know, Lair sounds a really fascinating product. I'm sure I'm going to be spooked the whole time I'm reading it. I'm going to get, you know, the chills up and down my spine reading this.
That's thing, the plan, Wayne. That is plan, just to have you think a little bit deeper in terms of the demonic and all that. Yeah, definitely the passion project.
I'm already getting chills. That stuff kind of gets me. But anyway, yeah, it's a great book, and it's underway. Kickstarter, just go to Kickstarter and look under Lair, L-A-I-R. Yes. And okay, Gilbert, under your name. Do you want to spell your name so people might be able to look for it?
Yeah, sure. My name's Gilbert Deltrez. That's G-I-L-B-E-R-T. And that's Deltrez, D-E-L-T-R-E-Z. And I hope you could check out Lair. It'd be awesome to have your support.
Okay, now let's talk about Under the Flesh. You've mentioned a little bit along the way about there's three issues out. As far as Under the Flesh goes, because I liked the book, I really enjoyed it. It was JL who contacted me about getting onto the podcast, and I talked to you. He didn't end up on the podcast, but you did, which was fun. We got to know each other as a result of that. The thing I'm kind of fascinated by is, okay, three issues. Where does that fit as far as the scheme of things? I mean, you mentioned that like there could be a mini series. Did you have a certain number of issues in mind for Under the Flesh?
Under the Flesh, the way I have it now, it's a six-issue story arc. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of teasing along all the undead stereotypes you heard of. Mm-hmm. And as a big undead fan, Romero, Lucio Fulci, definitely Kirkman. That's like my passion project also for zombies. But at the same time, I wanted to flip things around and add something that – part of my wheelhouse. I mean, I don't want to give too much, but at the same time – six issues is where it's going to end, and I do leave it with a closure, but I definitely leave a door open in case any third-party publisher wants to get behind it and there's some traction. I definitely love to see Under the Flesh as something that could be an ongoing or just, you know, I leave it in a way where you could do a lot with it. There's a lot of world building and there's definitely a lot of ways you can go, especially when you reflect that with today's politics. I kind of like use that as a way to gauge all that. So you can never get too political with comics, but I think Under the Flesh, it's going to show how it unfolds. Issue 3 and issue 4 is a big issue, right? When you get to there, you're not even going to know what's going to come next. I got so many things going on, but with Under the Flesh, but I definitely, definitely want to see that become something good.
Now, in case somebody doesn't know what Under the Flesh is about, but go back to our TV guide thing. Can you give us like a TV guide description of Under the Flesh?
Yes, TV guide description of Under the Flesh. You have picture a super soldier engineered in the dawn of the end of days. So basically, you could say the dawn of the zombie apocalypse, but to call this is zombie apocalypse is doing a disservice to not only all the zombie stories out there, but also to Under the Flesh, because it borrows off of those tropes to bring into it something totally different. So you basically have a super soldier with no clue of his abilities, who's trying to keep his small group alive during literally the end of days. So, I mean, I think that's a recipe for something interesting, fresh, and amazing whenever you have a superhero who doesn't know what he can do.
Well, also, the virus affects men particularly, as I remember, and I thought that was, you know, and of course, you know, you haven't explained everything as far as that goes in the first issue or two.
You know what, Wayne, that's why, like I said, issue 4 is just the issue. It's where, I kind of want to tell you the spoiler right now, but basically everything you thought, you know, it just spins on its head, so yes. But for now, yes, the virus that only infects men, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of Under the Flesh, how do they do that? Is it on Comixology? Do you get paper copies? How do you do those?
Okay. So Under the Flesh is available on Comixology. I am in the process of transferring over to also Indie Planet, where I heard you can get physical copies. They use Kablam as a printing service. So I'm in the process of file uploads and whatnot and getting approved for that. It takes about a week process, but I'm definitely in the process to get that to Indie Planet for those who want a physical copy. And then, of course, eventually when I hit the con circuit, definitely having hard copies available. And also we'll have some issues limited issues of number one available in the Lair Kickstarter as well. And also just undertheflesh.com. I have the comic there, free, update a page every week. And it'll basically up to where we are at as far as third issue. Mm-hmm. Once we progress, fourth issue becomes available, then I'll start updating with new content.
Okay. Now, see, what's interesting to me is that these are two totally different directions. Lair is a graphic novel, while Under the Flesh is individual issues. So mm-hmm. you're kind of covering all your bases by doing different things in different ways.
Mm, that's true.
Interesting.
I didn't think of that. But yeah, as far as variety, I mean, I would also want to say it's part of, for me, a cruel learning process as far as being an indie creator. Mm-hmm. Because if I knew what I knew now, I would have probably just went for Under the Flesh also as a graphic novel and kind of had that first sixth issue arc in a story that's pretty much one and done for readers to be able to gauge more. And at the same time, not waiting and not being on the end of a fish hook for the next issue, so to speak, is a learning process. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I feel that graphic novels are the way to go, at least in my experience, only because, yes, there's a bigger risk, it's more costly. But for me as a creator in a market where, as a writer, and especially as a minority underrepresented writer, it's really hard to show. I mean, it's really hard at all just to be a good writer in general. So you're hitting a market where it's hard to get noticed. I mean, there's oversaturation as far as indie comics, as far as comics in general. So for you to stand out, you got to have something good. So I feel with Under the Flesh, although I felt I have something unique, doing it in an issue-by-issue basis was kind of risky too. But for me, I was unaware of how the actual comic process worked. Mm. I mean, I was under the belief that, hey, you make a good first issue, Image will come along and want to finance the rest. Mm. But the more knowledge I gained, I became privy to the fact that these companies don't want to take any type of risk at all. Mm. You got to have a finished product. Mm-hmm. So now that I know that, I'm like, okay, so when I do Lair, I want to have this product finished, so that way when readers, editors, anyone sees it, they know that I can handle a story from beginning to end, and at the same time see what I bring to the table and see the marketing viability and potentiality and say, hey, you know what, hey, we want to sign you or whatnot. I feel like for me, as far as having a writer portfolio, I felt finished product would, for me, equal more opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that's what led me towards graphic novel, at least for Lair.
Okay. Now, as far as other projects, I mm-hmm. know you probably got other things in mind, not just these two. Mm-hmm. Do you, are any of them percolating, or is Lair and Under the Flesh kind of keeping you busy these days?
Well, for now, it's Lair and Under the Flesh. I do have other projects percolating. What would a great writer be without having a couple of aces up his sleeve, right? Mm-hmm. So my idea, I know with Under the Flesh, I kind of have my own label, so to speak, with Escape Comics, mm-hmm. I guess my floppies, so to speak. Mm-hmm. With Headshot Horror, I kind of like the idea of a one-shot horror brand. Mm-hmm. And I feel with horror, you can do so many different things. And there's a market for horror, and especially like original type horror, something ingenuine, something fresh, something new. So I felt like with Headshot Horror, this as an actual brand could be a way to spearhead my work in a one-shot basis as far as viability, as far as just showing what I can do work-wise. So I hope the idea is to keep Headshot Horror going. Mm-hmm. And after Lair, you'll have my next project, and then hope another project. And you're going to see that with Headshot Horror, you're getting a complete story, beginning, middle, and end. You're going to wait for issue 2. You're going to wait for issue 12. And you're just going to have the satisfaction of knowing you're getting a complete finished product. And for me, that's just adding one more to the portfolio and showing that as a resume to an editor. They're going to see me, what I did on my own, and say, wow, if this guy did this on his own, crowdfunding, you know what? We can bank on this guy. We can take a shot on this guy. He's showing that he's capable, mm-hmm. you know?
Now, you know, of course, the moment I hear two books, the first thing I want to do is crossover. I want to have the Lair mm-hmm. meet Under the Flesh. Mm-hmm. Somehow, could you have them change universes or something, have that do that? And you could write a, even if it's a short story, because there's a guy, wow. Dan Doherty, who does a book, a horror book, as well as he does a comic strip called mm-hmm. Beardo. And what he did was he managed to cross the two of those over. But he had this terrible people dying and getting into her this lady's mind, going with him as a person who works in a coffee shop.
Nice.
And it was just a while. I remember looking at it going, I can't believe he got this to work. You know, it's just amazing thing. So it's really good. So I'm always looking for crossovers. Maybe somewhere down the line, maybe they both get popular and you're thinking of something creative to do. You could always cross them over and see what happens when the two universes meet.
Wayne, you know me all too well. One thing about my work, as far as supernatural, as far as anything horror, I do have a plan to have them all canon within each other. So, I mean, you're already speaking my language. So if things do go good, that's, of course, something I'd love to entertain because I'm already entertaining it now. So definitely you will see that if things are successful.
Well, Gil, you know, much success to you. I'm sure this is going to be a success, and we'll get to see Lair before too long, just in time for Halloween. It'll be great. And we'll get to get more of Under the Flesh coming on. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. So
yes, that's the next one after Lair. Once JL's availability opens up, we're definitely going to be pumping up another Under the Flesh Kickstarter. And Wayne, you'll be surprised.
Well, good. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And much success, Gil, as you go forward. And I'm looking forward to all these good things. And I just know you've got other good things in there just waiting to come out. And we'll look forward to reading these other good stories that you have in mind.
Wayne, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And always support indie comics.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy. And I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. From flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but it's a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another interview with a great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.